Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Our program this weekend is titled God of Truth and Wonders. And I'm going to explain why that caption was chosen or what it's supposed to mean in our... that is, as we teach, we'll see what that's supposed to bring to our understanding. When we talk about God of Truth and Wonders, there are two things there. Truth and wonders. Now, people often focus on the wonder side, but I just want to explain to us that truth is vital. That's the first thing we must bear in mind when we are talking about God. Truth before we talk about wonders. Now, before we start teaching, I would like us to, we have prayed, but I'd like to take a declaration of the word of God. All right, are we ready? One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now that will be your experience this weekend in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word of God will enter your heart. It will give you light.
Amen.
It will give you understanding.
Amen.
It will give you direction. And listen to this, it will heal you in every area.
Amen.
It will deliver you from demonic oppression.
Amen.
It will deliver you from incurable diseases.
Amen.
Now, there's a way diseases behave. There are diseases you're supposed to have in 5 years' time. They are growing today, but you won't know. But I want to give you the news of God. That disease that's supposed to come later in your life, it will be cured this weekend in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's how the word of God works. I declare to you, the word will enter you.
Amen.
It will deliver you from ancestral curses.
Amen.
Because Jesus has already delivered you from them.
Amen.
You are free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that freedom will be manifested as a result of the entrance of the word this weekend.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said He sent His word and healed them. And that word delivered them from all their destructions. So I declare to you, you are delivered from all your destructions in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. Take your seats. Let's get into the teaching quickly. All right. God of truth and wonders. Can we open our Bibles? I want us to start from the book of Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 is where I'm going to start from. Looking at God of truth and wonders. I'm reading from verse 1. And we'll stop somewhere around verse 11 thereabout, but let's just start from verse 1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, that is, many nations, many tribes, many individuals also, they will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Why are we coming? Everybody read the next line. That He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. Now, let me just read that aloud alone for everybody to hear. He said, they will come to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. They are not going to come looking for miracles. They are going to come primarily because they want to learn His ways, and because they want to walk in His paths. He said, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. And He will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Now, please notice this. When people come to learn from the Lord, they will allow him, therefore, by that, to judge between them, and he will render decisions by himself. As a result, wars will cease. In verse 5, Isaiah now said, "Come, house of Jacob," and I'm preaching today, "Come, house of Christ," the church of Christ in Nigeria, the church of Christ in Makurdi. "Let us walk in the light of the Lord." He said, this is what happened. "For you, the Lord, have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob." Why did the Lord abandon them? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. As a result of these their works, the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abated. He said, "But do not forgive them." He said, "Enter the rock and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord, and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Praise the Lord. Now, that's our main text that we are going to use for our teaching this weekend. And we have some other ones we are going to read, but let me just start with this. I will read the other ones as we go on. Now, the topic of our teaching is God of truth and wonders, like I said earlier. Why did we choose that? Many times people come, the focus about concerning God in their lives is that he's a wonder-working God. Now, does God work wonders? Please, can somebody answer me? Does he work wonders?
Yes.
He does work wonders. But you know, one of the things that we omit in life is prioritizing things. That is, which one is more important to God? Now, there's something I say to people a lot of times, that God does not like... Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Please, don't misunderstand me at all. I want you to please listen to this. Hear me fully before you judge it. God does not like working miracles. He does not like working these wonders. I'm not saying he doesn't do them or he cannot do them, but they are not the things that he likes to do. Now, please get me. I am not saying he doesn't. I am not saying he doesn't heal the sick. I am saying God would prefer that they don't fall sick at all, so as to make that, you know, having healed to heal the sick necessary. He said, why couldn't we walk in such a manner that we never fall sick? Now, please, I am not saying that he doesn't do wonders. I'm just saying when we follow him, as if the primary thing about him is the wonders that he does, he's not happy. I hope you're getting my point here. Let me give an example. Jesus had different groups of followers. Different groups. I mean, just to illustrate with it. There were people, let me just give about three or four groups. There are those who, let's start from the bad ones. There are those who followed him just to be criticizing him. The Pharisees. The Bible says they're always looking for where he will say something that is wrong, so they can use that one to entrap him. So I'm not talking about those ones. Let's leave those ones out. There are those who followed him, didn't care what was going on. To him, to them, it was just, everybody is going one way, let's just go there. That's the second group, let's leave those ones out. But amongst those who were intimate fairly, who were dedicated in following him, they were in two categories. The first category are those who will call, let's call them the multitude. Different from these other ones I've mentioned. They followed Jesus for certain reasons. One of the major reasons they followed him was because he gave free food. He multiplied bread. And Jesus himself said it. He said, you follow me, go and read that John chapter 6. Not for any other thing than the fact that I give what? Free food. That free bread is the main thing they were following Jesus about. Now, those people, did he like them? No. Did he give them free bread? Yes. Did he like them? No. If you see, it was rebuke. He was rebuking them. There was a time they all came to him. The Bible says he withdrew himself and moved to a higher place. His disciples, that's the last group. There are those he calls his disciples.
Those disciples are the ones that are dear to his heart. Those are those disciples were the ones that he cared most about. Those are the disciples are the ones that he will say that the Father himself loves you. They are the ones he spoke to and said, I'm not telling you that I will ask the Father for you. I am telling you that the Father himself loves you. They are a particular group. They are the ones he will say to, that whosoever will say to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but that shall believe that whatever he says will come to pass, he shall have what he says. They are the ones he will say to, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. They are the ones you'll be telling things like, if you are not ashamed of me before people, I will also not be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy own angels. They are the ones he gave special tips concerning the kingdom. They are the ones he said to you have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. They are his disciples. Now let me say this. Sometimes people say that, okay, maybe like first time I came to Makurdi, when we went to the radio station that time, I remember the man we were talking to then. He said, you see, Benue is a Christian state. Now when we say such things as to say, give me an example state, maybe Bauchi is not a Christian state, or Gombe is not a Christian state, I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, Sokoto is a Muslim state, stuff like that. When we make such statements, that's what we mean. But that's never impressed me. Because the fact that most of us go to church on Sundays doesn't mean much. Because we can be amongst this crowd group. In our modern time, why do we go? Because it's our habit. I was born into a Catholic home. It's our habit. I was born into a Protestant home. I'm a Lutheran. I'm an Anglican. Or these days, people are growing up, born into churches like Redeem. I'm Pentecostal by birth. So I go to church on Sundays. So I'm called, you know, names like Samuel, Abraham, John, Andrew, Philip, you know, names like that. So that I'm a Christian. That's one major reason many people follow Jesus now. It's a habit. It's a community thing. That's what we do here. But I can say something to you. If that's why you are following Jesus, Jesus said, let me tell you, this is his word. You are not a Christian. The only people that are called Christians are those who are disciples. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. It's the disciples. It's the disciples. It's the disciples. People follow Jesus for many things. Another reason people follow Jesus these days, they are looking for wonders. They are looking for miracles. And they easily get deceived. I like to get into this because it shocks people. And people are working wonders for them every day. Like my mother will say sometimes, after watching TV, my mother will say, this one is just I don't know how to say it to, because my mother will say it to me in Yoruba. Who speaks Yoruba here? Uh-huh. My mother said, oh, pidong. You know what that means? What does it mean? Tell me, please. He's doing magic, thank you. He's doing tricks. She just watch TV and say, this one, we don't need that. This is like circus show. And it's a very common thing. I see posters. I've been to different parts of this country to preach. You get to Port Harcourt, there are very plenty. They're also here in Makurdi, there are not as many, but you get to listen to Port Harcourt, few all over the place. We have them in Enugu too, from where I came. You know why they deceive people? I'll tell you. First, who are those who are deceiving people? Let me get straight down to it. Yeah, I have so many things I want to get straight down to. Which one do I get straight down to first? Let me talk about this one. You see, one of the major things they do, they will look at you like this. They say, you're about to break through. Now, listen to this. I'm sure if you walk in now, you think that's what I'm doing. You're about to break through. You're looking for a breakthrough. Who is not looking for a breakthrough? Please let me know. But you are feeling resistance. Bros, myself, I felt resistance for a while. Who doesn't feel resistance in this place? You are feeling resistance. You know why? People are blocking you. People are blocking you. They are blocking you. Oh, and I see. Your uncle is from your village. Next thing we hear, have I met you before?
No.
You see it all the time. And then I see two men. One of them, the name is like Ak. You say, Akan, it's good. And I see another one, it's Brimo, good. And then they have said you will not make progress. And they dug something. And the thing, as it were, is under a tree. And I'm saying to you, today it is over.
Your ministration is over.
You go to the next person. Ah, and they call you forward. Is your wife here? He said, I'm here. Come. Your name is... Men, and they get the name right. Say, yes, man of God. Yes, man of God. Did you talk to me before?
No.
Have you not seen it? It happens all the time. I will not say 100%. I will say 99.9% of the times, lies. I don't care who does it. 99% of the times, they are lying to you. This is how you know they are lying. Now, see, if I come tomorrow and say this, no, I'm lying. What I'm about to tell you. Once I point to the cause of your problems as people around you, I've just lied to you. Once I identify your auntie, your uncle, your cousins, people who have gathered, they have buried something, no matter how accurate I am, I will tell you, you have an uncle. His first name is Samuel. His middle name is Abraham. And then you share the same surname. No matter how accurately I say to you, I have lied to you. They will say to you, your wife's mother is a witch. And they will describe her perfectly, even though they have never seen her before. There are two ways they get it right. Two ways. There's a third one I will not talk about. There are two basic ways they get it right. One, they just leak secrets. Your life is on Facebook. They've investigated you. There are some people that is business. I hope you know this ministry work. Sometimes it's business. I will do calculation. We are going to Makurdi. How much are we spending? How much will we get to make it a rich investment? A colleague of mine was told that, bring money, let's do a crusade. The return will be good. I'm serious. Somebody came to a colleague of mine, senior colleague, said, bring money, let's do a crusade. The returns will be good. So people are investing their money sometimes. They do their investigation to be able to get their money. One brother told me that he used to do it for his pastor. As all of you are arriving, he's not inside the hall, he's outside. He's checking the cars you came with. And noting it down. And passing it across. So that when I want to prophesy, I know who to prophesy to. All those ones that came with Okada, no prophecy for them. If I see your car is high from the ground and shining new, the prophecy will increase. That's one way. And on that set, they don't go through those investigative journalism thing. They go through familiar spirits. And they're the most dangerous. Because they will tell you things that only you know. They will tell you things that happened in your hotel room before you came here. Things that only you and your wife are aware about. It's not on Facebook. You didn't put it on WhatsApp. Your children don't know. They will tell you things nobody knows. It never impresses me. I see them on television. Once I was preaching, I mentioned him, one very famous prophet in Nigeria, and I said he's a false prophet. And I still mean it. I'm sure he's a false prophet. I have no doubt in my mind that he's false. I am so certain that he's not even born again. A man who said he was born again from his mother's womb, is that not to tell you that he doesn't even know what born again means? Anytime he wants to give rice to the poor, camera must be there. And people try to use that one to prove to me that he's a man of God. I say, well, people are really stupid, you know. Generation of confused people. Now be arguing with you. One day I said somebody wrote a mail that, how can I say somebody is false? I said, don't you read your Bible? The Bible does not say that false prophets will arise, false teachers will arise. Is it a new thing? Did he not hear that if it was possible, even the elect to be deceived? That sometimes they even work wonders. What is strange about it? So they fill the town. And listen to this. And they lead the people of God astray. I always like to make this clear. So why did I give just one small check? There are many I'm going to give. But I gave one simple one. That you know the man is false. I describe your problems, the challenges in your life. We all have challenges. I still felt lack of progress in a particular area of my personal life and ministry over the last few weeks. And I went to pray last week, God, what is going on? I told myself, you know, you are not allowed to ask God, do this for me, because you asked it before. And I even forbade people in the ministry from the middle of the year that we are not allowed to make any personal requests on serious matters till December because we are too focused on ourselves. I said, I cannot break that law. That it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all others will be added to you. Same things are not being added. The only thing I'm supposed to do is ask God, what's going on? So I'm telling them, we all feel it. And I was telling my wife just before I traveled, I said, oh girl, we have talk. I said, I believe I have a message of God for you. I said, it's serious. For both of us, I've taken my portion. But I need to deliver it to you too. Things that we must clear up in our lives, in our thoughts, in the way we walk, so that God can break through concerning things he wants to do through us. Not for us, really. I eat a lot of food. I mean, everything I want to eat, I have. How much can a man eat? If you eat too much, it's gluttony. It's a sin. So I'm not praying to God for food. I don't believe in reckless life. God, give me money so me and my family can go abroad. I don't believe there's anything abroad. If you want to travel, follow me to Abuja. I'm not asking for, you know, the things that the world has created. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Things that, God, my life must count. There are things that must be effective through my hands. So I face resistance too. Now you see where I'm going? So that you felt resistance, lack of progress is not anything new. The reason is what makes a prophet false. Once they point to somebody as a cause, they are lying. In case you are here today, you have not talked to your mother for a while because somebody told you that she's a witch. I hope you know. Your life is in jeopardy. You will die quicker than you were going to die before because you are trying not to die, hiding from the witch, thereby breaking the law of God. Honor your father and your mother. Please, I hope you are following me.
Yeah.
He's a false prophet, totally false. That his duty is to be checking. They're on TV. They come with all kinds of names. And when you watch them, I just sit down sometimes, I patiently watch. And they said to you that you will not make progress. And the man that said this is the second command from your grandfather's family. And I've been watching them like this. And I see people say, yes, man of God. Yes, man of God. I say, ah! People are blind. Blindness. I've never seen one, not one. I've never seen one of those prophets, not one, have I seen, say to any of these people they are ministering to, that you truly a believer. Have you really given your life to Christ? I've never seen one say to any of them, you need to take your hands away from iniquity. I have never seen one make demand of righteousness of anybody. Go and see. People had problems in the days of Jesus. There was never a time he pointed to them that somebody was the cause of their problems. Not once. The only time they came to him, his own disciples said to him, who sinned that this one should be born blind? They gave two options. And you see what they said. They didn't say who tied this one. They said who sinned. Are you seeing that? And they understood that the sin that creates problems comes from two groups of people. One, the person who is afflicted, or where he descended from. And even in that situation, Jesus refused to answer. What he said is that for the glory of God to be seen in him, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. That God's glory was shown in that man's life by Jesus coming and ministering the mercy of God to him. He never once, read your Bible, leave Jesus again, go to Peter, James, John, and Paul. There was not a time they ascribed anybody's problems to his neighbor, his uncles, people like that around him. Not even ancestral curses did they blame. Even though that is the closest to reality. Why didn't they blame it? Listen. If the doctor has the medicine, he doesn't spend too much time on the course. I don't know whether you are getting my point.
Yes,
listen. I'm a doctor by training. I can assure what I'm about to tell you. The thing the medical science researches the most into is the one they can't cure. If you see research into cancer, it's billions of dollars annually. At least hundreds of millions. But you know what? There's no cure. The ones that they have the cure, no discussion. If it's small surgery, remove it. How does it come? That is, if you see those, what we call them benign tumors, the knowledge of the cause of benign tumors is so small. Why? The cure is easy. But the ones that there's no cure, one of the richest men in America died last week. He co-founded Microsoft with Bill Gates, Paul Allen. He died at the age of 65 last week. And I said to somebody, I said, oh, billionaire in America too dies. I thought America is the house of God, where Nigeria wants to die to go to. And my office yesterday was discussing by one of our senior colleagues. We're calculating his age. I said, when I came to Enugu, the man who turned 74. So we calculated his age. He said, the man should now be 91. He's not dead, and he's in Nigeria. Never seen him go anywhere. Anyway, back to that issue. The man that died, what killed him? Cancer that they told him they killed him of 10 years ago. It rose up like a mighty man and killed him a week or two ago. But if you see research into it every day, why? There's no cure. Once the cure is found, we forget discussing it. So usually those who start checking who caused this, who started it, they don't have the cure. Those who have the answer, and the answer is in the blood of Jesus, they don't discuss who tied you. I have never discussed with anybody who tied who did not tie who. And if I've had problems in my life, and I've had problems before, it has never crossed my mind who tied me. I always leave it as a contest. If you know you can tie somebody, jump my fence. I say it on the airwaves. I don't say it in secret. I say it openly. If you know you're a witch, jump my fence. If you can land intact, then you gave your life to Christ in the air. Please, I know you've heard this story before, but I can't stop telling it. One day I was in my bedroom, a bat appeared out of nowhere. Bat. Black bat. African bat appeared. In a room that the doors were closed. Mosquito net is there. Air conditioner was on. Yet the bat appeared. I like the wife I married. She drank of the same spirit. She was lying like that day. I was trying to get ready. We're supposed to go and see some people that are looking for us. She just said, oh, see bat. That's all she said. I said, where? She said, has entered the wardrobe. Did I look for the bat? No. I closed the door of the wardrobe. Bam! Stay there. I said, I have visitors. When I came back, I looked for the bat. It too was trying to run away, so I trapped it with a big basket. And I gave it to my people in the house. I said, please help me throw this bat away. He missed his way. I said, me, pray. Because bat entered. God will not let me come to Makurdi today. Say, you're a very foolish boy. What are you going to minister to them? What I'm telling you now is definitely more than two. It's maybe about the third year now. Or maybe up to 4 years. But definitely more than 2.5 years ago. Can't remember the exact date. I didn't pray. In the name of Jesus, oh, you bats that fell into my room, you will not do me anything. Do me something if you can. Who was talking about you? Will do somebody anything? Do it now. There are prayers I don't pray because it's going to make God punish me. You know, but we follow these prophets. And last week you saw a bat. You know, if an average African man saw that bat, you know now. And then they came, they flee through the walls. I didn't care how it entered. It didn't even cross my mind. I said, it's a bat. And it has gone. I didn't tell them to kill it. Kill it for what? It's wickedness. It's called animal cruelty. I wasn't interested. I said, I better throw it away. It missed its way. But later, out of curiosity, I said, how did he even get himself? Then when I say analyze it, okay. First, later my children were talking, they saw a lot of bats outside, maybe the day earlier that day. And because they are not, sorry to say it though, they are not children that the parents carry to any church. So they didn't think anything of it. I was about to mention the name of a church, but let me not mention. So when I told them, bat, and they said, okay, got into your room. We saw plenty of them. They were flying all over the place. That's when we just realized, okay, what happened? One of them just, you know, looking for where to hide, hid in the AC, you know, between the, was a window unit, not a split unit. So it crawled between the crack. You know, they don't fit tightly. That's all that happened. There was nothing spiritual about it. Many of these things we see, it's our fear that we see. People will tell you that they are pursuing me in my dream. Go and pay those you are owing. They will stop pursuing your dream. It's your fears. One of my brothers sent me something the other day. He called me. He said his auntie died. And his father collected something from her. You know, very interesting story. So the man now called him that, please, that the woman appeared in his dream to ask for what was her own. So the man was like, and it was, you know, something precious. Like, he was supposed to return, but he hadn't. So now, let him quickly gather and go and give it back to the relatives. So he called me and said, what do I think? I said, your father is a responsible man. I said, being responsible, he felt bad he was owing somebody something when the person passed on. I said, that's all that's in his mind. Nobody appeared to him in a dream. tell him to just relax and return it the time he normally would have returned it anyway. The only thing, just to make himself feel easy, call the next of kin of the person that passed on and say, please, oh, I took this from your person. Please, I will return it at the end of next week. That was when I was planning to return it. That's all. The brother now called me 3 days later. You know why he called me? He laughed. He said, Pastor, by the time he told my mother, he found out that my mother had returned it even before the woman died. I don't know whether you get the gist. He, not knowing, was dreaming of the disease, that the disease came and said, where's my thing? By the time I finally told his wife, the wife said, wait, that one. I returned this since now. So the whole dream changed. What does that tell you? That nobody appeared to anybody in a dream. But the fear of our hearts, when you are owning everybody in the neighborhood, masquerade will pursue you. I'm telling you. Just wake up in the morning, God gives you money, go and pay them. All the masquerades will leave you. So people follow these prophets. That's the point I'm making. They follow. Why? I'll talk about why in a moment. Of course, we know they're looking for solutions, they're looking for miracles, they're looking for this. But the prophet is false. There are two types of false prophets. There are those who are in this thing for his business. There's good box in the God racket, like they say. So they learn to prophesy. They steal my word, God says, from one another. It happens. So they go and learn how to prophesy. They stage drama for people. Many of the ones you watch on TV is drama. Hired people. A pastor talked to my wife once. He said, Madam. Now, the English is very funny, so that will give it to you the way he said it. He said, Madam, things is happening. Things is happening. Began to narrate to my wife things that he has seen, being in ministry. That one day a man came to his house. And another young pastor called him and said, let's assume the guy's name, Pastor Adam. Pastor Adam, please. My friend is coming from Lagos. Can he stay with you overnight? He just came for something in town. So that one came. He received his guest. He said he just noticed that the guest was carrying a big bag. He didn't know why a man was traveling around with this kind of big bag. He didn't think anything of it. Next morning, this man went out. Then this pastor, Adam, assume his name is Adam, no, we said so. He heard of a crusade happening in town that he's part of the people that are involved. So he said, let him just go there. Let it not be as if he did not go. Only for him to get there and find the man that stayed overnight in his house in a wheelchair. That was when he realized that big bag was a wheelchair. The big bag was a wheelchair. He's a contractor for crusades. So he has been hired. He said he was looking like this. This man that walked with his two feet intact into my house, suddenly I arrive at the crusade ground, he's on a wheelchair. Then the man of God they invited to come. He first embarrassed some local ministers that they should pray for the sick. Then he now came with power after and laid hands on this man. And the man came out of the wheelchair staggering. Ah, praise God, I've been healed. There's one big joker like that in Lagos. I hope you all know who I'm talking about. He's always on television. He even has his own channel. Church of all foolish people. And I see it every time on television. I'll be embarrassed. Many years ago, when I was first, what I'm telling you, almost, that's about 18 years ago, 19, 17 years ago. One day my wife and I watched, no, long ago, watching him on TV. They showed one boy with the eye closed like this. With, you know, pus, everything all over the eyes. Said the boy is blind. I told my wife, how many blind people have you seen with pus on their eyes? Just be honest. Which blind person goes around with pus? They don't. Blindness and stupidity are two different things. A man is blind doesn't mean he can't wash his face. A young man caught out of a house that's blind doesn't mean they won't clean his face. I told my wife, this is obviously a lie. They came. Then this is what happened. Please pretend like you're the preacher. You pray for me. I grab the mic from your hand. Praise God, I've been healed. Praise God, I've been healed. Praise God. Amen. Praise God, I've been healed. The boy himself, an actor, he held the microphone well. I was going to know, praise God, I've been healed. Praise God, I'm well. Praise God. I told my wife, can't you see acting? The one day they said, Jim Ike went for deliverance. I said, that is proof that all of this is acting. One of Nigeria's biggest actors went for deliverance. They said, what are you talking about? They fall under the power. You want me to fall under the power for you here? And people are following. That's the painful part. Daddy, this man told my wife. He said, madam, that things is happening. Oh. That he was looking. He couldn't believe his eyes. Acting. They make a mockery of the name of Jesus. Mocking this Jesus. The man told my wife, story. Daddy, my wife came and said, come and see what this pastor told me to do. That there are people who are arrested. You know, he saw people. One woman hiding somewhere. Sticking egg into her pant. So that when they pray for her, it will come out. They say deliverance. And how much was she paid for that act? 1,000 naira. So they went and gathered police and arrested all of them. The woman said, that's the job. That's what they used to feed. Boil egg. That says deliverance. And people are impressed with all kinds of stories. There are a lot of actors out there. Some are not actors. Some are occultists. And some are true Christians who got confused. Because they were in ministry for 10 years. Ministry did not grow. After 10 years, church not past 20. What is 20? 15 people. After 10 years, I mean, he doesn't have money. He sees one small boy next to him one day. The boy blow like Davido. He said, what's the secret? It takes, what I'm telling you, I can give you authentic stories. As for the occultists, there's one big one in Enugu. Small boy like this. Small boy. I've told him, not directly, into the air, that my words will drive him out of that city. What kind of nonsense? So you see pastors join people like that, not knowing that that boy is an occultist. These are our brothers here who led prayer now. The one who led prayer. Now. His relative told him, that one is a preacher, that I know that this boy is an occultist. He said, but he calls me daddy. That one is a big preacher. Then if he brings offering, I will take. So for you to know, I'm not telling you story. Somebody told some, this man who just led prayer now, that I collected a mic from to come and preach to you. His relative told him that boy, I don't understand him. I think his ways are not straight. But he calls me daddy. He brought me an offering. I took it up. So you find a lot of good preachers who have been misled because they didn't see the result they wanted. Their lives were like the life of Saul in the Bible. The people, they are trying to gather the people around themselves. So they force themselves to do what was not right. And shortly after they do it, usually, they too, they start making money. They buy the kind of car they always wanted. Then church begins to, in quote, grow. Membership is now 200. They reach 500. They buy land. They raise foundation. Raise it up to roofing. Put something on it. God can collapse the building later, but at least for now, let's enjoy progress in ministry. And people follow. Why are they following is the story the point I'm getting to. It is because they are always looking for wonders. Once you're always looking for wonders, jumping from one place to the other, you will be deceived. We captioned our meeting, God of truth and wonders. God does wonders, but that is not his foundation. The foundation in his own work is truth and righteousness. So if you have problems, God does only two kinds of diagnosis. Either gives the solution to it or tells you what you need to correct in your life. That's all. He never blames anybody. A true prophet never blames anybody. The cause of the problem in your house is never your mother-in-law. It cannot be. She doesn't have that power. Have you ever heard this before? They say, don't let her come to your house again. You've heard those kind of prescriptions. I don't let her come anymore. You know what I always tell people? If the witch wants to come to your house, it's one of two things. Either she's not really a witch, or you're a cold Christian. Because if you're really a genuine Christian on fire for God, no witch wants to your house. No wants to come to your house. Why would they? No, think about it. Think about it. You know, insects, I don't understand. Do you know that if you spray ordinary, fly is blowing in the room, insects don't run. But spray insecticide, you know, they go in the other direction. It has to hit them and kill them. The very smell of it, I don't know how they detect it. They know it's noxious. They move in the other direction. One of the ways they drive insects out of some homes abroad, I was reading once, if you wanted to clear a house of some kind, they put their special heating things, they put in the center of the house, heats the house to a particular degree. The whole house heats up to about 100 degrees. Though 100 degrees will not burn anything. You know, it's dry 100 degrees. All the insects will die off. They will run away, the ones that are not dead. So if a witch decides to come into your house, then either your life is so cold, or the person you are calling the witch is not the witch. So people then, my mother-in-law can't come. Why she say, well, I say, in that case, you have not given your life to Christ. If you have given your life to Christ, she's the one that will say, you say, mommy, come and visit. She'll be looking for excuses. If every time she wants to come, please let her come. She's not a witch. She's that fake prophet that's trying to scatter your home for you. As wife is going to one fake prophet, husband is going to another fake one. The wife's prophet will tell her, your husband is an occultist. The husband's prophet will say, your wife is a witch. And you know, it always works out in a funny way, because the man comes home and the woman is frowning. And to both of them, that's proof. Why? Because people are looking for wonders. I always like to drop that. Please, don't let people deceive you. Let me summarize what I've said. This is how you know you have been deceived. You are not making progress. It's somebody. It's something buried. It's destiny. Enemies of destiny. We just came back from Oka a few weeks ago. Well, not too long ago from Oka. We taught on deciders of destiny. I taught on that extensively for more than 5 hours. Explain to people what decides your destiny. It's not in the hand of somebody else. You want to know you have been deceived? Your problems have been ascribed to a spirit somewhere, released by a relative? Please,